Welcome back. You're listening to Public Address Radio on Radio Live. We have a tendency to bitch about New Zealand TV drama. Implicitly, it can't be as good as the imported stuff. And the broadcasters have tended to underline that view, having in recent years lowered the boom on a number of local series and not put a great deal in their place. But Outrageous Fortune, well, there's a program you can show your foreign friends, if not perhaps your maiden aunt. The twisted tale of the West family enters its third series this week, and if the series trailer posted on YouTube recently is anything to go by, there's more shagging, fighting and dodgy dealings than ever, especially the shagging. We're lucky enough to have the series co-creator James Griffin with us to talk about round three.
Yeah, beat your ass!
James, welcome.
Yeah, hey, good to be here.
You'd know as well as anyone that local TV comedy and drama is often made in the knowledge that the axe might fall at any time. Was it sort of novel working on this series against a background of widespread acclaim?
Yes, it was. And, I mean, I have to say that when we went into the first series that we did, you know, we were waiting for the axe. I mean, we honestly had no idea whether it would work or not. And you know, a lot of people around it did too. And we were, you know, kind of told, you know, don't expect a second series, but it'll be fun while it lasts. And the ratings got better and the acclaim started coming in. And lo and behold, we're in that very unusual situation of having a local drama that's actually clamoured for.
Does it make a difference in the way you can develop the characters? Because some of those characters, particularly someone like Munter, have had long enough to actually really develop.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the idea is that you get the kind of a cycle thing happening that, I mean, when you write the characters initially, of course, they just exist on paper. They get cast. The more you see the actor, the more feedback you get from what the actor does, what they do well, what they don't do so well. And you can grow the characters, but you need time and second series and now third series to do that. And it's great. It's really good to be able to do that.
There's a hobby horse of mine that is that the New Zealand drama that seems to succeed is the ones that really capture our language, that where the script, the dialogue is really good and realistic, and you seem to have had a real success with that. You just seemed to falter early at the beginning of the second series, and I couldn't quite figure what was going on. Was there some change at that point, or is that? Do you think that might just?
No, I think that's just your imagination, David. I just think you're overanalyzing it, to be totally honest. I mean, dialogue is a funny thing. If you actually sit down and look at it on the page, it isn't naturalistic. It's not. It's designed to fulfill a function, and it cheats. It sounds naturalistic, and it's not. If you actually see scripts written in naturalistic dialogue, they look really stupid. Sometimes you cheat well, sometimes you don't cheat so well.
Do you think another key to it has been that at some point nearly all the characters are sympathetic? Even, say, Aurora's evil gang member boyfriend turned out to be vulnerable.
Yeah. Which was based on a true story, actually. The wonderful Nick Ward told us of a gang member who, kind of the most feared gang member in Palmerston North or something, had just broke down like a baby when his girlfriend left him. You know, it was a touching story that we absolutely had to steal. Yeah, I was thinking kind of on the way over here that I think one of the things we have done quite well is we've created heroes for people. I mean, if you're a mother of four in your 40s, I think you'd quite like to be like Cheryl West. I mean, if you're a 17-year-old kid growing up, you'd quite like to be Loretta. If you're an old folk, you'd quite like to be Grandpa. Yeah, and that's, I mean, we kind of aim for that, but you don't aim for it deliberately. It's just the way it pans out.
And I bet that when young men come up to Anthony Starr, they're not relating to him as Jethro, are they? They're relating to him as Van.
No, it is amazing how Van just really did get stuck into the psyche of those guys who don't normally watch television. And we rate really well amongst that demographic, so TV3 tell us. They dig Van and Jethro's the baddie.
On to another matter. There's a lot of rooting in the promo for Series 3.
it just looks that way when you kind of package it all together.
So good, so good.
Wait, did you put every shag in the series in that promo? Or
no,
some
that's only from like the first four episodes.
Is it sort of liberating having no obligations towards social worthiness? I mean, you worked for a long time on Shortland Street, where there are certain expectations of...
Yeah, it is kind of liberating, but I mean, often it's as simple as saying, you know, in Shortland Street you would have this conversation over a cup of tea. Well, why can't they have it in bed while they're trying to root each other? You know, it's really just giving you a different, you know, sandpit to play in to set conversations. And most of them, that's all they are.
Have you been assailed by the moral crusaders at any point? Has anyone tried to get you taken off air?
No, never, never. We have only, as far as I understand, had one official complaint, and that was to do with a certain episode in the second series in which... Well, yes, nothing was seen, but a lot was implied, and we had one. That's the only complaint we've had.
I thought that was rather a beautiful scene myself.
It was touching in more ways than one.
They seem quite moral characters too.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
This is on the side of the angels.
Well, I mean, the series started, and Rachel Lang sat down, and we were talking about series, and it started from a very kind of morally serious kind of question, and that is the median income for women in this country is so incredibly low. Why would people be honest if they don't have to? And so we then turned that on its head and said, well, what if you want to become honest, because and then you discover how crap life is if you're a woman trying to run a family and be honest. So it started from quite a strong moral ground, and the, you know, the characters are always trying in their own way to do the right thing by them, not necessarily by society standards, but certainly by the standards that the family set, and it's family above all.
That's some of the fun of the show, that you're asking a lot of what-if questions that are a lot of fun to play with. Are you off in new directions this series with...
I hope so. I mean, we like to think we are. There's it certainly goes to parts of the moral universe that other shows won't touch. Yeah, I mean, but that's up to the audience to tell us whether we do go far enough or too far, or, you know, and I guess we'll find out across the next 22 or so weeks.
When I interviewed you quite some time ago, you made what I thought was a really interesting observation, and that a lot of the flagship American TV shows, particularly comedies that we think of as being overnight successes, actually come out of a background of failure. Everyone involved has had their failures. They've tried things that haven't worked. They've been part of shows that were cancelled, but they've learned and they've moved on. Do you kind of feel like you've done that now?
I've had my failures.
and that you feel like you kind of really know what you know.
Yeah.
Know where you're going now.
Yeah. Absolutely. And there's nothing kind of gets more annoying than the perpetual network search for new talent, new people, and there are kind of people like me going, well, I've been learning stuff for 20 years now. I might be a bit old in the tooth, long in the tooth, but, you know, I've learned a thing or two, and I'm just starting, I think, to get my game going. And so please don't write me off just yet. I've got a mortgage to pay. So good.
Bring it on.
James Griffin there, and Outrageous Fortune starts again on TV3 this Tuesday night. After the break, we're back with Bill Doreen.